Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's The Rant, Tuesday, July 16th. I'm Jeff. Got a big show for you today. We are going to cover the Chicago Bears and Cincinnati Bengals, a little team preview action. And right before we went to air, there's news about Brandon Ayuk I wanted to touch on briefly here. Also got some mailbag questions to get to later in the show as well. But I want to lead with this Brandon Ayuk news. So if you haven't seen it, it came out that he requested a trade. My thoughts on this, really short thoughts, it's not going to happen. If it didn't happen in whatever, early April, why would it happen now? This is a team in a Super Bowl window. And so if you were trading him in early April, you would have been trading him for draft picks, you know, obviously. Ideally, either a first rounder or as much as you could get for him. And then you turn around and then you fill the void that you created by trading Brandon Ayuk away. That didn't happen. And so if they traded him away now, what are you trading him for? Draft picks. Probably, right? You're not using those until next year. So why would you do that? Are you going to get a younger... Who's going to give you a younger wide receiver? You know, people keep saying the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm seeing on social media. Do you think that the Steelers are going to be like, oh yeah, well then here, we'll just give you Pickens for him straight up? No, of course they won't. And not to mention the fact that Brandon Ayuk is under contract. He's on his fifth year option. He's slated to make just over $14 million on the fifth year option. And not to mention the fact that we have already seen this crap from the 49ers. If you paid attention 2 years ago, almost to the day, this whole thing was happening nearly identically with Deebo Samuel. It was a whole big to-do, and guess what? You know when that deal got done? July 31st of 2022. So that would still be 15 days from now as I'm sitting here recording this. I don't think he goes anywhere. I think this is much ado about nothing. Yeah, sure, he can request a trade, but the 49ers aren't necessarily going to approve that request. And hey, ultimately does, I will be really surprised if the 49ers make that move. That just doesn't seem like something they do. We've seen things drag out in the past, not only Deebo Samuel, but also Bosa, and even Kittle to some extent too. I don't think anything happens, much ado about nothing. And honestly, I love Brandon Ayuk on that squad. I just hope that there's a little bit of a backlash here and people maybe stay away from him a little bit in best ball for a little while. But by the time fantasy draft season rolls around, I don't think there's really going to be, and we're going to have clarity by that point. Because I think ultimately when it's all said and done, a deal gets done and he stays in San Francisco, as he should. All right, so let's get into some team preview stuff here today. Like I said, we are doing the Chicago Bears and Cincinnati Bengals, and we'll start with the Chicago Bears. This is a team that is coming off a pretty nice stretch run last year, but obviously things changed a little bit, and mainly at quarterback. Of course, they do have Eberflus still as the head coach, Shane Waldron now in as the offensive coordinator, but the man himself, Justin Fields, is out. And the NFL really told us how they view Justin Fields, which is very different than how a lot of fantasy folks viewed him. They don't view him as a starter. And after looking back at a lot of things from him last year, I tend to agree on that front. Now, that doesn't mean he can't be a starter in the future. But as of right now, he has a long way to go as a passer. Great running quarterback, but really struggled as a passer. Now, they replaced him, of course, with the number one overall pick in the draft, Caleb Williams. And I think that was the right move. I don't think you pass on Caleb Williams. We'll get into him in a moment. They also bring in Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift. They drafted Roma Dunze, so they had two top 10 picks, and they go skill with the two top 10. Even brought in Gerald Everett. Darnell Mooney out, Deontay Foreman out. But generally speaking, you know, they put a lot of pieces in place for Caleb Williams to be successful right from the gate. And by the way, shout out to everybody out there who's saying that Caleb Williams is the greatest Bears quarterback in history, even before he's taken a snap. I love that. I get jokes too. But maybe he could go down as one. This is a team, a franchise that has never had a 4,000-yard passer. Smoke and Jay Cutler only had one 4,000-yard season and was in Denver the year before he came to the Chicago Bears. So, yeah, for such a storied franchise, they don't have a storied history at quarterback. Could that begin now with Caleb Williams? 2022 Heisman Trophy winner, honestly really wasn't that bad last year. The team defensively was terrible. USC was terrible on the defensive side of the ball. And so that caused a lot of game scripts where Caleb had to kind of play hero ball. Not even kind of. He played hero ball. Let's just acknowledge it. But what do we have in him? We have a player with a Mahomes-like skill set. I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes, but he has a Mahomes-like skill set. He can make all the throws on the field. He has the ability to improvise with a high football IQ and athletic chops that are very good. He is not a burner, but like Patrick Mahomes, knows when to run and how to run. He knows what when to take what the defense is giving him. Now, obviously, there's going to be a learning curve. And obviously, we look to some of the recent history here. And, you know, Bryce Young, for example, first overall, rough rookie season. Not always guaranteed for success just because you're first overall. But the team, as I said, put a lot of players in place. They already had DJ Moore, bring in Keenan Allen. Nice veteran presence for him there. Bring in DeAndre Swift in the backfield. Draft a high-ceiling wide receiver in Rome Odunze. Cole Kmet's there as well. There's a lot to like here for Caleb Williams. I don't think he's a top 12 option in his rookie season. I don't think we get like a CJ Stroud-esque season, but I think we're going to see more of a roller coaster, more in highs and lows, where he could be a fringe quarterback one. I have him just on the outside looking in at the top 12. So very draftable as an upside option, like upside late round option in one quarterback leagues. He's QB 15 for me right now. Let's move over to these receivers because as I mentioned, it is a really interesting group. DJ Moore last year had career best in receptions, 96, receiving yards, 1364, touchdowns, 8, and yards per route run, mind you, 2.31. That was a career best with the Bears all last year. That was with Justin Fields, with a bad quarterback situation. Now, part of it was he was kind of the only show in town. Darnell Mooney was there, but really, it was DJ Moore and everybody else. That's not going to be the case this year, but there's still plenty of juice with DJ Moore. Still plenty of ceiling with this kid. And I say kid because he actually is like still surprisingly somewhat young overall. And if there was a preference out of the Bears receivers, it's still DJ Moore for me. I have him as a top 20 option, but I don't hate Keenan Allen. Now, Allen is in his age 32 season. He was really good last year, though. He had 108 catches in 13 games. But that is sort of the concern. Missed 7 games in 2022, missed 4 games last year, and he's 32. I mean, usually, my experience, Father Time doesn't turn the clock back for these guys. So that is at least something that you do have to take into account. I would say he's probably a better like redraft option than he is best ball because the ceiling isn't that enormous, but he's got a nice floor. He's also a great presence for Caleb Williams, you know, to get his career started. It helps having that veteran. Now he gets Rome Odunze as well. Odunze was the best of the trio in Washington, and it was a really good trio. Michael Penix Jr.'s favorite target last year. We saw him so productive. He, over the last 2 seasons, led the nation, if you look combined, in receiving yards, 2,785. He was 8th in receptions with 167 over that span. But what I love about Odunze, he's big, 6'3", 215, as athletic as they come. And when he's up in the air above the rim, this guy makes contested plays like it's easy for him. 17 of 24 contested targets he caught last year. That's 71%. So it's not a 50-50 ball with him. It's a 70-30 ball. He can also get downfield. But in his rookie season, I would expect more of like a Jackson Smith and Jigba type performance where, yes, there will be flashes, but overall, he'll take a backseat to the two veterans. He's more, I love the dynasty outlook than necessarily I like the, you know, the outlook this season. Though I still do have him as a top 50 option because I do expect the team to throw the ball a good bit. Cole Kmet will get in on that. He had 73 catches last year. Really always showed great chemistry with Fields. We'll see if that chemistry continues with Caleb. But, you know, he's on the outside looking in. He's a tight end 2 option. I have him at tight end 15. Would it shock me if he finished top 10? No, because it wouldn't shock me if any tight end finished top 10. But not a guy that is going to be in the tight end wheelhouse or anything like that for me. So not typically somebody I draft. Yeah, streamer along the way, sure, but not a draftable option. Now, the backfield's interesting as well because they went out and they signed DeAndre Swift, who his career really changed last year in Philly. It wasn't the greatest season, but he did top 1,000 yards, and he was used much heavier on the ground than he was in Detroit. 229 carries last season, 268 touches. His previous best was 213. So they took the training wheels off for DeAndre Swift. The one area I would say of concern for him, he wasn't especially good at converting down in the goal line. 14 goal line carries, only 5 total touchdowns on the season. You know, he was 11th among backs in goal line carries. 4 of his 5 touchdowns, by the way, came on goal line carries. So that's not a great conversion rate. So that's maybe the one concern, but the volume should be there. Yes, they have Khalil Herbert. Yes, they have Roschon Johnson. But it does seem like those guys are going to be decidedly behind the guy who they signed in free agency. And that is usually, you know, that's one of the things that I will go to. You know, people will say, well, how do you get a sense of how depth charts are going to shake out? When you have a free agent come in, the number one thing I'm looking for is how much did they pay that dude? In this case, this dude, average annual is $8 million per year. That's a pretty penny. Like, they didn't, you know, the salary this year isn't crazy, but next year, like, they gave him 6.1 fully guaranteed next year, which is, that is pretty big, you know? And if you look in the grand scheme of things, DeAndre Swift average annual is a top 10 back. So that should tell you they're probably going in that direction. Yes, Herbert will be involved, and so will Johnson, but we're going to see more of Swift than anything. And I don't mind Swift because he gets out of the dead zone in redraft leagues and in best ball. You know, he gets out of that dead zone period, so he's going to be a guy I could see myself having my fair share of. I'm ranking him at 21 right now, and he is getting outside, like, into the 7th round. All right, let's move over to the Cincinnati Bengals, which is a team, you know, generally speaking, very similar to last year with one, well, let's call it 1.5 notable exceptions. Joe Mixon is out. That's the one. And the half is Tyler Boyd. It's not a knock on Tyler Boyd, but we know you're behind Jamar Chase and T. Higgins in the pecking order if you're the third wide receiver in this offense. They brought in Zach Moss. They drafted Jermaine Burton. There's really not a wide receiver to fill Tyler Boyd's shoes. You know, Mike Gesicki can play slot. Like, he's a big slot. He's not really a true tight end. But I don't think that he's just going to get 100% of Tyler Boyd's targets. That's a little aggressive. They're going to spread the ball around a little bit more in that spot. But anyway, Dan Pitcher taking over as the OC, by the way, because Brian Callahan moved on to Tennessee as the head coach. So last year was a weird year, because Joe Burrow got hurt in the preseason, probably should have been pupped or IR'd to start the year, played poorly in the beginning of the season, then finally gets healthy, starts looking like the Joe Burrow that we all know, and then gets hurt again. And then that was a season ender. And we saw Browning did a nice job. I don't want to knock that dude, but obviously that wasn't what we signed up for if we drafted Joe Burrow last year. Now, all reports are saying he's going to be good to go. He himself is saying this. He said, you know, he's paying more attention to these things because he realizes how important it is to stay healthy. The one thing I will say, we have seen over the last 2 years a lot more dink and dunk out of Joe Burrow. He's not pushing the ball vertically as much. We've seen this with Jamar Chase. 2021 air yards per target was 12.8. 2022 was 9.5. That's a big drop off. Last year, 8.6. Now, some of that was Browning, to be fair, but Burrow, if you look to him in 2021, his air yards per throw, 8.6. He goes to 7.5 in 2022, and then last year, 6.9. So a lot of dink and dunk. Now, you can still be successful with dink and dunk. Patrick Mahomes does a lot of that, but it was an intriguing trend. Burrow is going to be a top 10 quarterback in fantasy drafts. You know, he's going to be. Usually that prices him out because it's kind of a quarterback dead zone for me. It's a period where I don't want to be drafting quarterbacks in general. I tend to be attacking running back in that phase, tight end, but not quarterback. I'm going to wait until the late rounds. He's going actually pick 60 overall, QB7. I'm ranking him at QB7, so nothing's surprising there. Instead, I'd rather just get a piece of him. If I can in the first round, like I've got to be really early in the first round to get Jamar Chase, but I have no issue with him whatsoever. 100 catch season for him last year, 12, 16. He had 7 touchdowns. That's like his, like, the yardage and the touchdowns is like his floor. The catches, sure, was I guess he was on pace for more than 100 in 2022 when he missed, 5 games in 2022. But still, super efficient, 2.02 yards per route run. It's just the lower air yards, but I'm not really worried about that with Jamar Chase. Now, T. Higgins, yesterday the deadline actually passed so that he is officially playing on the franchise tag this year. He almost certainly will not be back after this year. He'll hit free agency, and if he has a good year this year, dude's going to get paid, like paid big time in free agency next year. I predict, early prediction, T. Higgins to the Patriots. That's my early prediction, and it's not because everybody predicts any player to the Patriots. It's because the Patriots, on paper right now, they're going to have maybe the most money to spend next year based on a salary cap. So we'll see. But does that mean we shy away from Higgins? Does that mean we target Higgins? What do we do? I don't think it's necessarily either of those. I think if he's there at the right price, I'll go after him. He's going at wide receiver 27 in ADP right now. So he's in wide receiver 3 territory. You know, comparing that to rankings for me, he's maybe he's not even a tick high. I'm at 28. So it's like, and that's actually back to back. So pick 56 is wide receiver 28. So he's 55, then George Pickens is 56. So he's going right in that range. No issue with taking him in that range whatsoever. He is more of a roller coaster ride. We saw that last year, big time. He topped 100 yards twice, but also failed to reach 40 receiving yards 6 different times. And everybody remembers week 1 when he put up the fantasy goose egg on 8 targets. But the highs are high, the lows can potentially be low. As I mentioned, there's really nobody to fill the Tyler Boyd role. Like, they did draft Jermaine Burton, but he's more of a downfield perimeter guy. I don't see him running in the slot. Maybe we see Trenton Irwin a little bit in the slot, but we'll probably see some Mike Gesicki there. I think we've just been down this road so many times before with Mike Gesicki. Yes, there's going to be optimism, but do we really think he's going to be a consistent fantasy option? I mean, do we really think that? I know we could convince ourselves that, but do we really think that? I don't think he's a draftable option, but he's a watch list guy for sure. So let's move on to the backfield. Joe Mixon's out. And we could basically have set our watch to Joe Mixon all that time he was with Cincinnati. We knew he was going to be an RB1, potentially at times maybe an elite RB1, but generally speaking, like in that RB1 range, because he was going to see a massive workload. They didn't replace Joe Mixon with a 3-down back. They brought in Zach Moss, and they have Chase Brown. And Chase Brown flashed at the end of last season. Like, he, dude, give this dude screen passes all day long. Am I right? Like, flashed, but he doesn't profile as an early down runner. Zach Moss does, and Zach Moss can catch the ball to the backfield. Last year, he had 184 rushing attempts in Indy, 27 catches. So he does manage to top 200 touches, kind of filling in for Jonathan Taylor, committing with Jonathan Taylor at points. He did an okay job, right? He had the 100-yard games in week 3, week 5. He had 5 rushing touchdowns over the first 7 games of the season. Not bad. But there are some things about Zach Moss that are concerning for me. The number one thing is he is one of the slowest backs in the NFL. Last year, he hit 15 miles per hour on just 4.9% of his runs. Only two qualifying backs had lower rates. One is Latavius Murray, and I believe he was like 67 years old last year. Nah, kid, but he's in his 30s last year. And Kareem Hunt was the other one. He had the lowest rate in the league. And we know Kareem Hunt has not even lost a step. He's lost like 2 steps at this point. So that's a little concern, but, you know, if anything, it's a ceiling concern, because here's the deal. If they get down to the goal line, who are you giving the ball to? You're giving it to Zach Moss, or you're giving it to Chase Brown? And it's obvious, right? It's going to go to Zach Moss. He had 11 goal line carries last year. Chase Brown had 0. Now, he only had 44 rushing attempts, but none of them came in at the goal line. So I think that makes sense. And so here's what if I see Zach Moss on the draft board, I'm up. He's the highest guy there. Am I going to hesitate? No. I'm at RB29. So he's easily clearing the dead zone. He's going RB25. So actually, I may not get him. He may go a tick before I get a look at him. And that's okay. But if he's there, sure. He'll be one of those running backs in, you know, my hero RB stable or my zero RB stable, depending on which direction I go. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. So there you go. There's the Cincinnati Bengals for you right there. Tomorrow, we're going to get into the dog pound, Cleveland Browns, and we'll talk Dallas Cowboys. We're going to do a podcast on Thursday as well, and then I'm traveling over the weekend. So we'll do Denver and Detroit, and then I'll be up in the air on Friday out to LA. Shout out to anybody who I see out there too. If you're in the live LA Scott Fishbowl draft, looking forward to seeing you there. And then on Sunday, live Scott Fishbowl draft in Boston. If you're there, looking forward to see you. Come and say hi, man. I'm just a normal dude. So come and say hi. I love seeing all the people who listen to this podcast. It's pretty awesome stuff. So I set up an email account. And the email, if you want to get in touch, it's therantpodjr@gmail.com. I know it's wordy, but the rant pod for some reason was already taken. That, like, how? How? Anyway, therantpodjr@gmail. So two more people hit us up here yesterday. Austin hit us up and he said, hypothetically, I don't do hypotheticals very well, so I will preface you guys here. But he said, hypothetically, if there are no injuries heading into the season, I'll be keeping Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb with no round penalties. Love that. He said he has the 1-6 and 1-10. In a, he says 10 man. I think he means 10 team. Not a 10 man would be 10 roster spots. So I don't think he means that. I think he means 10 team draft. He said, if I go with a wide receiver at 1-6, am I locking myself into zero RB? Like the game plan. And that's my draft guide at ftnfantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. He said, like the game plan mentions, or if an anchor falls to 1-10, can I go punt RB2, or it's also called hero RB, with three receivers to start? So you do have slightly, you know, slight different approach here. But here's what I'm going to do. When I'm up at 1-6, I'm not locked into a wide receiver. I'm going to use my board to see who's the best player there. So if that player happens to be a wideout, then guess what? I'm taking the wideout. And now you got three, and we are kind of off to the races. But being that you're still in that first round, this is where we modify things just slightly because you have two picks in this round. So I would say, yes, is there an anchor still there? If the anchor is the top player on your board at 1-10, then take the anchor. I don't think there will be an anchor there, but there might be. It seems like the anchors are going to be first three rounds this year. But if that anchor is there, then sure, take him. If not, then you're off to the races on, you know, essentially a zero RB build. But, it's really when the anchors, the top 12 are the anchors this year, when that dries up. Now, if you're listening now and you don't have a subscription at ftnfantasy.com, I've been asked this. So like people have asked like, oh, you know, I want to send you something. Can I do that? I'm not in this for gifts. I really appreciate the sentiment from everybody, but I'm not in this for gifts. There's two ways you can thank me. First way is review the show on Apple, Spotify, wherever you're listening to the show, review this podcast and don't do the thing that the one dude did last year on my other podcast. He gave it one star and he said, I don't want my friends to find out about this. Like that was the ultimate, you know what move. I'm not going to curse. But don't do that, please. Give it a good review. Then the other thing you can do is subscribe at ftnfantasy.com. Those are the two things you can do to thank me. And I will appreciate both of those greatly. I appreciate the sentiment, but I don't need any gifts there. So yeah, that's what you can do for me on that front. But if you're wondering about the draft strategy stuff, I will do a draft strategy podcast as we get into August. Not worried about it now. We're going to roll through all the teams first because you got to know the teams and the players before you can implement a strategy. Plain and simple there. If you do want to read it, though, it is up in the game plan draft guide. The entire strategy is it's a pretty decent sized article, but it breaks it all down for you. Now, Scott is also checking in. And by the way, both of these guys giving shout outs that the pod is back. So appreciate that. It was tough to communicate the message that I had another podcast, the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast, the last like basically year and a half. But glad to see everybody's back on board with the rant. He said, if your playoffs start in week 14, how are you valuing players with a week 14 bye? Totally avoiding them or just moving them well down on your board? I'm actually doing neither of those things because I don't draft with the assumption that I'm going to make the playoffs. I would love to be able to do that, but I know after playing this game for as long as I've played it and as many leagues as I've played in, that I'm not a lock to make the playoffs. I have to get there first. I'm also well aware that I can draft a player who has a week 14 bye who can get hurt in week 2 and not play in week 14. So I'm not thinking about byes when I draft. Now, my question is, why is there why does your postseason start in week 14? I think that's probably the more pressing question here. Is it because you have a month-long playoffs? Is there that many teams who make it? Is it because you're still sticking to the old format because your playoffs used to start in week 14, so therefore when the NFL changed their schedule, you just never changed? Like, that's another question entirely. I know that's not what you're asking here, but it is worth investigating in your leagues, because the week 14 bye thing in the NFL is not going to go away, and it seems like the NFL really likes giving six teams a bye week in week 14. But I'm not going to draft four bye weeks, so it really doesn't change my approach. Yeah, it will suck if I have too many of those guys. It definitely will, but I'm not really changing my approach here. I will strongly encourage anybody out there, like if you really want to change your approach to week 14, go for it. It is ultimately your drafts, so you got to do what you got to do on that front. Okay, so I also have one more thing here. Somebody actually did take me up on the voicemail line. So the line for the show is 215-720-1780. So I did get a caller yesterday. Didn't leave his name or anything, but let's go ahead and, yeah, here we go. Let's play this voicemail.
Yeah, Jeff, I'm calling in regards to your draft board 2.0, which is phenomenal, by the way. The other day, I swore you were talking about Derrick Henry, and I thought you said in your analysis of him that you would consider him an anchor RB. However, I noticed on the 2.0, he falls in the RB dead zone. I was wondering if you could clarify that for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely can do that. And you're right. So he is an anchor RB. This year for me, I have 12 anchors. And in fact, my free tiers article just went live over at ftnfantasy.com. So the top tier, and we'll get into tiers next month too, but Christian McCaffrey, Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall. These are subject to change. This is July 16th, so obviously a lot can change between now and late August when we're drafting. But the remaining guys in, no particular order here, Jonathan Taylor, Jahmyr Gibbs, Saquon Barkley, Kyren Williams, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Travis Etienne, Rashad White, Isaiah Pacheco. Those are all anchors. But the problem with the RB dead zone is there is no precise start necessarily. You can start it in one of two places, right? It's not like it's always one start. Now, there is one endpoint. It's the end of the sixth round. So once we get to the seventh round, we are out of the dead zone. Remember, the dead zone is a period of the draft. It is not a type of running back. So where does it start? It starts in one of two places. The first place would be if you drafted one of those guys. So let's say you drafted McCaffrey first overall. Guess what? We're now in the dead zone. So every running back, whether it's Bijan Robinson, Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, like you could go all the way down through rankings, they all now have at least a seventh round or later value to me. All of them. And some people will push back against that. I'm doing this by design because I don't want to overinvest in running backs early in drafts because it's a very volatile asset. So guess what? Am I saying that Derrick Henry or Bijan Robinson is going to get to the seventh round? No, I'm not. Of course I'm not. I know they're not going to. But if I value them where they currently are on the board and I don't change my board after making that first pick, I'm going to make mistakes. I know myself better, better now than I did in the past. And I would always fall for it. I'd be like, there's so much value here. I got to take this guy. And I left my rosters too vulnerable as a result. So it's either after you take one of the anchors or after all the anchors are gone. Like say, if you just keep going wide receiver, after that last guy. So right now, Pacheco is the bottom of the anchors for me. He may not stay there, by the way, but as of now, that's how I see it. Once Pacheco is gone, then we're in the dead zone. And usually that is after the third round, but I don't want to say it precisely because every draft's going to be different. So that's a really good question. And again, I did detail this a little bit in the tiers article. If you're not a subscriber at ftnfantasy.com, if you're a Fantasy Plus subscriber, you get all the tiers on a cheat sheet, which is badass. There are 16 different cheat sheets over there. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Make sure you're following along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe and on Instagram. A lot more people follow me on Instagram these days. I like it. I'm not going to complain. It's at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram as well. Please review the podcast. Please go check out ftnfantasy.com. And please stick around because I'm going to be back tomorrow. Like I said, we will do any big news like Brandon Ayuk. If that happens, I'll talk about it. But otherwise, we're going to keep marching on with the preview series. Cleveland Browns, Dallas Cowboys tomorrow on the podcast. I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe and I'm out.